I've resorted by instruction from the Lord that if I enter this place and you're not yet there, we shall drag you there. Eh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Eh? Because you will cheat yourself. Eh? You'll cheat yourself of what God can do for you. And because today is a point of contact, eh? When the Spirit of the Lord is invited in His potency in a place, eh? He touches all those contacts. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? And I noticed, I walked around a little bit. Eh? It's difficult for some people. They have not nurtured the habit, eh, of getting lost. Huh? And it's something you need to learn. Eh? It doesn't matter the instruments. We have been in dry places. I used to go for missions. Yeah? In dry places, you go to Karamoja and you're looking for a power source where you are deep down in the village there. You've come with a keyboard and the keyboard guy can't play. And so you have to, you know, like a car, click, click, and you have to chamocate yourself to enter, because you can only, if you're not in, you can't lead those that are there into the presence. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so you must... You must develop a habit of being lost, that to the point where you're seated next to someone, or if your chair was empty and someone came and sat, you had no clue that they came. Eh? That's how lost you need to allow yourself to be. Eh? Because it's a sad thing that a large number of Christians don't know what it means to actually enter the deep levels of intimacy with God. Eh? And last week when I was ministering, I explained to you, we're talking about Song of Songs, and I explained, as some of you would remember, that there are 3,000 proverbs that Solomon wrote, but there are only 900 in the Bible, and that there are 1,500 songs, but there's only one song. And I explained that that song has gates of intimacy, minimum 12, that if a person understood what it means and where they can start from, eh, in order to get deeper. You know, we just sing songs. Take me deeper. But you... Guys, last week I told you that it's one thing for a person to say they're righteous, but the day they experience the righteousness, the way they perceive it changes. It's one thing to say, take me deeper, to sing it, eh? But the day, you know, when the Bible says, when the psalmist says, deep calls unto deep, he's referring to various levels in the spirit, that if you allow your vessel to be enlarged, eh, you will find yourself in deeper degrees of God. Praise the Lord. Eh? And as simple as that might sound, sometimes, or most times, intimacy with God is the reason why some people's world comes to a standstill. And I explained last week that you will pray to God for specific things and He won't give them to you because He knows they will replace Him. And that's why, and I've taught before, that God is wise in the way He approaches things. He tells Abraham, what was Abraham's one issue? He didn't have a son. Knowing Abraham did not have a son, after some time, he gifts Abraham and Sarah the son they've desired. Naturally, as a parent, especially in your old age, you will love the child. You with me? Okay? God appears to Abraham in Genesis 22, and He says, take your son, your only son whom you love. That is a statement of the depth of intimacy that Abraham had with Isaac, okay? Whom you love, offer him to me. Now, what God was doing at that stage was that the day Abraham took that son and put him on that sacrifice, inside him, the love for Isaac was replaced with the love for God. Are you getting me? Because if I'm willing to give up what I love, I love you more. God says, stop. No need to sacrifice him. Are you getting me? Because inside it has already happened. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews that he received his son back from the dead. But the son didn't die. Inside here, he had already given him up. There are degrees of intimacy. Yeah? Let me show you something. The Bible says in Psalms 42, we're going to read from verse 1. Eh? Heart there can also be dear. Eh? It says, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee. Okay? So panteth my soul for thee. Next verse. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? The first gate of intimacy is longing. Let me tell you, many people desire, and I've seen some of your point of contacts in the spirit. I want to get married. I want to get rich. You can have a desire for those things. It's rare to find people who desire God. And it's a pity to say that, because we're all children of God. But to find a person, David said in Psalm 63, he said, in a dry and barren land where there's no water, I thirst for you. Now, I want to tell you briefly about the first gate. I'm just going to touch it. The first gate of intimacy. Because to enter into God, you must create hunger, longing, yearning. Anything you want in the spirit, anything you want, whether it's money, whether it's what, everything spiritual, any spiritual thing that you want, starts first and foremost with hunger. Absent of it, you cannot get it. Whether it's impartation must have hunger. I want what's upon that person. It's not impart me. It's not that. Eh? Because you see, I call it the language of nourishment in the Bible. It seems to imply in scripture that Scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says, for they shall be filled. Paul speaking says, he says that milk is for babes. But then he says, but meat is for the mature. That means there is something your spirit eats and drinks. Okay? It is possible for your spirit to be hungry. Huh? And you see, from what I've learned about God, often God will starve his sheep so that they will look for him. He will starve you. He won't come and say, come, follow me. God doesn't do that. He starves you. In the spirit, there is a menu. There is a menu. And I can assure you, God can change your menu. I wish you understood what I'm saying. There are times you will sit under an anointing, and as they minister, you feel like you're being filled. Let me show you. Proverbs 27 verse 7. Eh? Proverbs 27 and verse 7. The language of nourishment. Eh? Language of nourishment that is in scripture. He says, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. It thirsts for him. Okay? He says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. It means that when a soul is full, no matter what they bring your way, you don't want it. And there are many children of God like that. Their posture, do you know what posture is? All posture is hunger. And someone says, have the right posture. It's hunger. And he says, the full soul loathes an honeycomb. There's a point where a Christian will reach, and I call it a plateau, where a person has stopped hungering and they feel that this is all there is. So they will come for fellowship and just sit and watch. And say, when will you pick me out, man of God? I've come with my point of contact, man of God. Yangu ako nawe. You understand? Something in them has, they've made themselves full. Now, let me tell you a secret. The process of transfer from one glory to another is founded upon hunger. Absent of hunger, there is nowhere you're going. You can stay on the same level. And all you say, I want that, I want that. No. Because you see, there are stages. The first is desire. When desire is grown, it becomes passion. When passion is at its fullness, it becomes hunger. Praise the Lord. Eh? As much as you want financial breakthrough, some, you see, people have developed appetites for different things. So someone's appetite is finances. Someone else's appetite is marriage. Someone else's appetite is a car. And you see, God will just watch you. Can I show you something? Because I feel like you need to know this. This is very, very important. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Eh? Hosea 10 and verse 12. Sort yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Now, you see, faith has works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Okay? You with me?
Yes.
Wisdom has its children. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. Righteousness is not just a posture. It has its fruit. You can't just say, me, I'm righteous in the Lord. You are actually right. You have a posture. You are right. In the eyes of God, you're righteous. But righteousness has a fruit. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me show you. We're going to come back to this. The Lord has whispered it to me. Philippians 1:11. Eh? Let's see what it says. I have no idea what it says. Philippians 1:11. Ah. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness has its fruits. Back to the scripture. Back to my point. It says, when you sow to yourselves in righteousness, you reap in mercy. What this scripture means is that there is a point, even though you have a posture of righteousness, where God expects you to do what's right. Yes. Ay, 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 silence. Silence. Eh? And I'll tell you why this scripture is extremely important. And what's right varies across, it cuts across. There's a time, after I just got married, and my wife and I were just getting to know each other. Since we're talking about intimacy, we might as well talk about this. Eh? And we're just getting to know each other. And because you have two people from different backgrounds, eh? And you've put them in a house together. Hmm? And I told you last week, love can first disappear. Ko, eh? Now, I remember there's a day, she got me angry. Eh? And I raised my voice. And the Spirit of the Lord says, do not treat my daughter like that. Now, you guys, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah? I had the Spirit of God whisper to me, do not treat my daughter like that. Don't talk to her like that. Since that day, I've never raised my voice. Now, it's not, there's some guys can say, hey, man of God, you're killing us here. My wife is here. Eh? I'm not saying that to hit on someone. I'm telling you that when you have a certain level of intimacy with God, you know, the Spirit is very interesting. He just whispers, don't talk to my daughter like that. And you hear the sternness in it, and you feel there will be a repercussion. And that's where the fear of the Lord develops. Hmm?
Yes,
you're so intimate with someone that when you're treating someone, you will do what is right, not because you're good, but because... Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is why I'm telling you to push in into intimacy, because he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. In other words, there's a sowing you can do that is beyond financial, where you can do what is right and expected in a place, and you're sowing to yourself. Very, very, very important. I was telling someone the other day that just because we live in grace and because you have a posture of righteousness does not mean that in your company you go ahead and steal. Huh? Now, I assure you. Now, this is very important. The reason why I'm saying this is because no matter what, no matter how you try to explain it, in every religion, in every faith, stealing is wrong. No matter how much you try to explain it, dominion, what, you can try to explain it all you want. It is wrong. Okay? Now, the thing is that you will steal, and steal that grace will. But he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Then he says, reap in mercy. Now, what that means is that reaping in mercy means that when you sow something in righteousness, God in his mercy, irrespective of laws you might have broken unknowingly, removes your situation. Are you with me? This is the thing. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Okay. Now, so it means, and by that I mean, because I'm not talking about, you see, the thing is, when Jesus died on the cross, the sin nature was dealt with. But people can still sin. Yes? The consequences of a wrong act can still happen. So take, for example, oh God, give me an example. You're in office, and you steal and they catch you. Huh? You're the well-known born again in the office. You steal like the others in the office have been stealing. And they catch you and they take you to prison. You pray, God, forgive me, and God forgives you. But unless a higher authority intervenes, the consequence still takes place. Are you with me? Even though Jesus died on the cross. You're with me? So, what mercy here means is that when you sow unto righteousness, God in his mercy saves you from the consequence. That's what it means. Reap mercy. Now, doing what's right can also fall in things, because it's not just good and bad. Things like, I need to pray. You have sowed to yourself in righteousness. Some of you, I imagine you've been a Christian for how long? You still need people to tell you that, guys, please let's give. Please let's give. This is not rabbi's ministry, or this is not wherever some of you go. Huh? In the spirit, the ministry is also yours. Now you start distinguishing yourself from it. There's so much coming in my spirit, I don't know. If you start distinguishing yourself from it, you're still a baby. There are things you have not, you still need us to tell you, guys, please sow. I was seated with someone for lunch the other day, and they said something profound. I said, can you imagine even at this time and age, people say that God is real, but they believe it, but they don't believe it. They are unbelieving believers. And one of the examples is this. Somehow, when it's time to sow, you sow sparingly, as if God, who is invisible, is not seeing. Because the day you start to learn that this God, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:10, I love that scripture. It says that God is not unjust to forget your works and labors of love. He's not unjust. And so when you see someone who has just learned that principle, that his eye is on me, a labor of love means that when I do something, I don't do it for the audience. I don't do it for attention. I do it for an audience of one. One person is watching. One. Okay? And that's what you call a labor of love. In other words, you're doing something because you're in love with someone. Are you with me? There are people who often come to me, and a person will say, "But, I don't see you sowing." I said, "Is it my relationship with God? Are you the third string? Huh? Why do you need to know my state? When you see me increase, no one increases by accident." Praise the Lord. God is not unjust to forget your works and your labors of love. Notice he distinguishes the works from the labor of love. Because work means, I have to usher, you do everything. You're just doing everything. Maybe, what if the man of God sees me? You're so conscious of what others are thinking about you. You come for a partnership meeting just because they will ask, "Where are you?" But when a person has developed that, and I'm talking about just the first level, the minimum 12 gates. Some people haven't even passed the gate of yearning, hunger. I'm telling you, back those days, we had nurtured so much love for God that I used to go for missions, whether my best friend had gone or not. Whether the girl I liked was going or not. I'm not going for them. I wanted to heal the sick, you know, make the blind see and the deaf hear. I wanted to go so that God would put it on account, so that when I stand before God, he will say, "On this day you went on a mission. You didn't go because they asked you to. You went because you loved me." I remember a time when I had just done internship at my workplace. I was working with the Ministry of Finance. I did internship there. And at that time, my boss gave me 200,000 and said, "Work well done." Oh. At that time, it was the most money that I'd ever received as mine. Eh? And so I remember I went straight to church after. You know, when you have money, it's like, and I remember I was in a taxi, but kept on checking to see if the money is there. And when I reached the church, we were preparing for a mission, because every December we used to go for missions. We were preparing for a mission, and they had collected this money, and they said, "We're lacking money for the van that's supposed to transport us." "How much?" "200K. The battle. "Surely you cannot have given this to me to give it away." There was a battle. And you see, when you've developed that relationship, you cannot say you have not had him. You guys are lucky. Rabbi, me, I was not sure if it was God. You cannot say. I remembered something I said last week. When I said that when some people get to levels of intimacy, they start to look for its equivalent here on earth. And someone told me, "Rabbi, I think that's my problem. I have been very intimate with God. That's why here on earth, I'm looking for the intimacy." Anyway, that's by the way. So I remember that day, I fought, and I gave in the 200,000. And I gave it in. And you know, those days I used to say it a lot. I used to say, "Lord, remember that I've done this." And I gave in the 200,000. Oh, I went home. I couldn't even mention that I had got money, because they would ask, "Where is it?" And life continued as normal. I want you to understand that there are situations in life and circumstances like that in my past where in the present I can do something silly and God, by his mercy, because of a labor of love. You understand? Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I wish, you see, let me teach you something, a secret. Learn to talk to God. And I know some of you, if you've been in church long enough, you heard that. Yeah? But learn, for me, when I'm driving in my car, all my complaints. First of all, you told me. You told me this. You're the one who set up this ministry. The one who said, and by the way, anytime you want me to stop, let me know. Because these people give me headache. And so I talk. The next stage after talking to God is not God speaking back. It's you knowing God has heard. That's the next stage after talking. It sounds easy, but many people talk and do not receive the conviction that they've been heard. The next stage after talking is knowing you have been heard. When you know you have been heard, peace enters your spirit. There is a language of supplication, a language of nourishment. Yearning, the hunger. And you must learn to develop it. Learn to be alone. Learn to be in solitude. Nurture hunger. Sometimes what I do, I've mastered the art. When I had this gift of teaching, there are times when I feel someone will need this. There's a difference between inspiration and revelation. Inspiration is when you knew something and God brings it to remembrance. Revelation is when God brings into your spirit something you never knew. Okay? Now, there are days, even when I'm coming for ministry or I'm going to meet someone, and I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, but I've learned how to. You know how Smith Wigglesworth said, if God doesn't move, I move him. You need to learn how to move God for you, eh? Because I know what to do. I know how to instigate revelation. I know the posture I need to have. I know how long I need to be there. Now, the thing is that not all of you are teachers. I'm talking about me. That's why I'm saying you need to find yours. Because you see here, when you go deeper in God, you start learning that many of these symbolic things in the Bible are not just allegories. Let me give you an example. When you're standing in your call, let's say you're a musician, let's say you're into fashion, let's say you're into business, and you're doing what you love, there are times when we call it you will flow. You just flow. When the Bible talks about rivers of living water shall flow through you, one way that happens is when you're in your call and you feel you're flowing. It's not symbolic. There is an actual flow. You're not trying to be someone or something else. You're exactly where God wants you to be, and somehow you're just flowing. That's what it's referring to. It's not symbolic. You see, when the Bible talks about fire, the Bible says, the zeal for your house, Lord, burns in me like a fire. There are times you will hunger for something and you will literally feel like in your spirit there's something burning. Someone has lit up something. It's not allegory. It's not allegorical. It's an actual thing. When they talk about the Spirit of God being like oil, there are times I remember back in when I was ministering, I would feel oil on my head and in my hands. It's not allegorical. It's an actual experience. Personally, when the Lord wants me, there are times I can't see, feel, touch, hear anything. And the Lord wants me to pick out someone. I'll walk around and I'll feel a wind next to the person I need to pick. And sometimes people think it's luck. You're just saying, you're just Russian roulette. You just picked out someone. But every man has developed, you've developed a language with God. You know, it's like two lovers who have a secret language. And if the devil wants to mess around with it, he doesn't know what it is. So he's busy trying to trying to ensure that he blocks the language, but he doesn't know which area the Lord is going to come. That's what, so when the Bible refers to the Spirit as a wind, to me that's not allegorical. I've experienced it. Are you with me? Intimacy starts at the place of yearning, longing, hungering, and it attaches itself to any spiritual thing you need. Any spiritual thing you need, anything you want from the spirit realm, you must nurture hunger. 2016, oh, actually, I lied. 2014. So I come into my very first encounter with what an actual prophetic is. Because my perspective of the prophetic back then, I had seen in church it was very general. Until I came across more than one individual. I'll say, yesterday you ate this, you did that. I said, what is this? Is this witchcraft? And so, when I would sit down with guys, say, how are you guys doing this? He says, actually, you can do it. For me, that's all I needed to hear. The hunger that developed. Every time I would go to a prophetic ministry, I would sit. One time I attended one of my brother's Prophet Ernest Fellowship in 2016. And he was picking out people. I've told this testimony before. So he went, I was sitting right at the back. And he was going down the entire row. And the two ladies before me, I don't even think he remembers this. He went to a lady and said, the Spirit of the Lord says, you desire a car. May you receive it. The lady next says, the Spirit of the Lord says, you hunger for a house. May you receive it. I'll never forget. He came to me and said, the Lord says you desire him. Eh! And I was dying. You know hunger. I was like, I want to see you. And he said, you shall see the Lord. From that day. Praise the Lord. Hunger. Hunger and thirst for the Lord. One day I'll tell you the difference between the two. Because your spirit can thirst and a spirit can hunger. But David says it, in a dry and barren land, I thirst for you. We have become too casual with our Christianity. And it's a sad, sad thing. When you learn about the levels of heaven, and we joke around. Me, I'll be in third heaven. I'll be watching you from Kameme. And I say, hey, how is it down there? And so we ultimately presume, and many of you make this mistake, you think that your man of God's relationship with God is yours. May God wake you up. The purpose of the anointing before you is to create hunger. You identify it. You didn't know how to identify it. But you've seen it in a person and said, that's what I want. Do not presume. You know, people talk corporately. We are deep. We are rich. Now, there's a place where you can say that from faith. But like I said, it must have its fruit. I will never say something I cannot present before you. It's the reason why there are some things I've never actually tried to do here. Because I know I haven't yet perfected it, and I can't come before God with half-baked things. Unless the Spirit moves upon me. I need you to understand that as much as you want a husband, as much as you want to go abroad, there's someone who wants you more. One of my biggest fears back then was this. Now it's not, but some of you should have it. Job said, I will see him face to face, and he will not be a stranger. They are Christians. You're Jesus. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Do you know that when you've had an intimacy with God, there are God will not treat you like anyone else. And I'm going to explain. Moses struck the rock twice, and God said you would not enter the promised land. Zechariah in the Bible just asked an angel, how shall this be? And the angel struck him down. And he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of the Lord. And yet Mary did exactly the same thing with exactly the same angel. She said, how shall this be? He says, that thing within you. The reason is because, according to scripture, Zechariah was a priest. He should have known that there are angels, priests, chiefly beings in the spirit, whom you do not just question. Believe. The Bible refers to Mary as a young virgin. So when you are levels of intimacy, there are things you will not get away with. That's why I know for sure that there are people in this room, there are people, for example, who will get away with things that someone like me might not get away with. The Lord will say, no, for you, you can't. The person will just sit. Do you know that as you get deeper in God, the time he expects you to stay with him increases. You can't get away with some things. You see, another person will pray, I'm giving an example, for a car, 10 minutes, and God brings it. And then you go into his presence, and you're saying, Lord, I need a car. And he just brushes it off as if, let's go to more important things. You understand? And he knows you need the car. He says, this is what I want you to do for this one. This is what I want you to do for this one. This one. And he won't even tell you that he took note of the car. Because he expects you to be more mature. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. And so you're sitting there. You sit there. You. Something, your world is being shaken. So you've come with your points of contacts, and I'm telling you, we're going to pray for them. The Spirit has already hovered over them. But I want you to understand that until you go through this first gate, the other gates, you're just joking. I'm telling you, the movement from one glory to another is founded upon hunger. And that's why who you hang around with is important. The discussions you have are important. You understand? Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Huh? There's a scripture. Isaiah 32. I'm about to finish. Verse 15. I believe that's the scripture. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. What this scripture means is that, and I've said this before, I've taught it here, that when there's an atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord is released, there are different postures. Someone's posture here is wilderness. And the Bible says you're transitioned into a fruitful field. And another transitioned into a forest. That's what the scripture means. Until the Spirit be poured out. So, there are people being taken from one place of posture to another. Ezekiel said something. And I want to teach you. Because there's a time, I know some of you are around, there's a time during a point of contact when I went to everyone one by one. Remember that day, some of you? I'll never do it again. Because at that time, the Lord taught me, for me, I was like, I'm going to decide. I did not realize that when someone has an issue, and you as a spiritual person come, and you lay hands on there, they draw something from you. And so more than 100 people were just, I couldn't sleep. I was just like, I was just like, people had finished me. You know, draining. I understood now that scripture where Jesus said, I felt power come out, virtue come out of me. When it comes to situations like this, a point of contact, the first way your situation can be sorted is by sight. All you need to do is see rightly, and God sorts it. There's an impartation simply by sight. Jesus said, Elijah who said, if you see me go, the Bible says, if you behold them with open face, you are changed from glory to glory. There's an impartation. Please switch off your phones. An impartation that is sorted strictly by sight. And not just by sight, but you continuing to see. Amen. So, and I had to learn this the hard way, that when a person, for example, is ministering or is prophesying to someone, all you're seeing is the act. You must learn to see beyond that. That's just an example. When someone is ministering something, you must learn to open your ear and hear what God is saying to you personally. Because while there's a corporate message, God is an individualistic God. Everyone that came here today came here because the Spirit of the Lord led them. Everyone. That means what I'm ministering today has to apply to whoever is here. Pick it, find it. So the first is you must see. The next stage is the Bible says, Ezekiel 2:2. The prophet says, and the Lord said to me, and his spirit entered into me. Amen. Ezekiel 2:2, And the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. There is a speaking of the word that allows something to enter. But it doesn't enter by force. Remember? I said something sometime back, that the entrance of thy word bringeth light. It's not the hearing. It's the entrance of it. Something goes past body, soul, and hits spirit. One time I was teaching on it and I explained that if you are body, soul, spirit divided, when a word is spirit, it passes through body, the ear, passes by the mind, hits the spirit of a man, and people respond differently. Someone stands, amen! And you don't know that it's because something first came from us, from outside, entered, hit the spirit and a person, amen! And people are looking around, but that's the way their spirit has received it. Someone else says, amen. You see, for me, when someone ministers a word that is satisfying my spirit, I begin to start itching. My wife now knows it, because those days she said, what's wrong? Now she knows it. I start to, my God, my God. And I walk around. I pace. So nowadays everyone at home just gives me way. But that's how I respond to a word when it has. I'll try my best sitting when I'll start crossing. The entrance, when someone speaks, it enters your spirit. That's one way. Another way impartation can happen. Another way, your fallowed ground, I'll get to that as I finish, can be sorted. The third way is by association. Association. That if you are around someone who has got a breakthrough, that's why I tell you, and guys, don't mind your testimonies. Don't mind your testimonies, even if the people get jealous. Please hear me. I find it very hard. I don't even know how to explain it, but when someone starts a statement with, Rabbi, bad news, or things are bad. But when someone says, Rabbi, testimony, I even skip, I tell, come tomorrow, testify. I want I like to connect to such an atmosphere of joy, so that if I'm going through something, I just enter it. Association. That's why when you're in fellowship like this, when you're in fellowship like this, learn to understand that who you sit next to. Okay, let me leave it. Because now people are going to start going in. There is something in the spirit, there's a synchronization of spiritual things that ensures that you sit where you're supposed to sit. Praise the Lord. Take me back to Hosea 10. Sort yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is a situation in your life that has just refused to give way. It has refused. You prayed, you did everything. It has refused. That's what you call. It says, sort yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy, and therefore break up that fallow ground. You break it. I have seen people who have gone constantly to anointings, no matter how great or small, received a breakthrough, and they don't seem to see it manifest. Now, I want to say to you that you receive your breakthrough now. Eh? In Jesus' name, eh? May your fallow ground be broken. May you blossom. May you blossom. In the name of Jesus. Eh? You're not dry. May the Lord fill your thirst. Quench your hunger. In the name of Jesus Christ. May you see your breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Press in to the Spirit. Develop a hunger. Stop just coming to fellowship to just... Do you know the people who have crammed how God... They feel they've crammed God. Eh? Huh? You've crammed God. So, when you go to pray... Someone yesterday was telling that there's a person who went and sowed for something, eh? Believing God. Eh? And when it delayed, he decided to help God. He said, God, since you're delaying, eh? Let me help you. It was something to do with investment. Eh? So he had sowed for an investment, for more investment, and decided since God is not showing up, let him go and get a loan. Eh? A loan and invest. Eh? I'm helping you. So now God sort this one out. Eh? And the people who feel like God's silence means that he's doing nothing. If I could tell you how many years in my family I was underlooked. If I could, how many years from the time I finished campus until the time I got a proper stable job, it was about 10 years of going for family meetings. Pussy, what are you doing? preacher, I remember those things. I can't forget them. They hit hard. I'm trying to stop myself from tearing because I know where I was. 10 years of going on pulpits and people say, man of God, they see you wearing the same trouser. Not because dad doesn't have money, but he says, I can't keep buying for you things. You're an old man now. Find money. And so you just clean. Thank God for jeans. Eh? You just clean the outer part, then you go out. But you see, ladies are sharp. They can see even the smallest. Guys, I've been through things. Some things I can't even tell you. Because they will embarrass me. I can't even tell you. Huh? It's a testimony. As you go, You guys, you go out and say, can you imagine Rabbi? I'm telling you, did my spirit not go with you? I will watch you, eh? But let me tell you, there are things. You know when you're running a race and you're ahead of everyone, then everyone starts overtaking you. Huh? And then you go before God, you say, I'm preaching. I sow. I pray every night. What is it, Lord? And the thing is that, I've said this before, we rarely understand life forwards. We understand it when we've moved and we look back. We say, that's it. I'm telling you, there's a time it took me 2 years just to buy nice shoes. They had eroded on the side. Eroded. The other day I was thinking about, I was like, I wonder where those shoes went. Because I would have brought them here as a museum to show you, eh? To show you. And all that time, I did not know. I remember there's a time I applied to go abroad. And because I thought life is better there. Some of you say amen. Oh yeah, oh. Malawi. Yeah? And so I applied and I'd passed highly. And I applied and I didn't get it. The person who did worse than me got it. And I started thinking that there's a spirit out here trying to. So I remember I went to Prayer Mountain. Seguku. By the way, that was the last time I went. Eh? But I went, it was a two-day thingy. And I remember all I would go there, because I was still learning how to pray. So I would just go and say, Lord, I want to go abroad. I want to go abroad. I want to go abroad. Spirit, I bind you. I don't know which spirit it is, but I bind you. Prayed, nothing. And I remember my dad, God bless him so much, eh? Because he longed so much, like every parent, for me to succeed. So in his love, he did not know he was trying to detour me away from God's will. You understand? Go be an economist in France. Go be a... It blocks. It's blocked. And I thought it's the devil. Did not know it was God. And when I fell on my call, and that's why one time in the car, I told the Lord, that day you tell me that ministry is done. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. No more phone calls. No more messages, WhatsApps. My job here is done. And I go and move on to the next stage. Because it's very possible there are people who are aspiring for president. And all that time you thought you're a minister. Kumbe, there's something big hiding in the background. Now, some of you are sitting here. You think you're just supposed to be in your company. You can be bigger than the chair that you're sitting on. You can be bigger. That's why I'm telling you, as the Spirit, as I speak, the Spirit hovers over your point of contact. You can be bigger than the chair that you're sitting on. Praise the Lord. May God break your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Upon you. When you hear someone say, I never come unless the Lord has sent me. I understand that statement, because there's a point where you reach and you die to preaching. I don't know how to explain it. Eh? It doesn't satisfy you to just come and quote scriptures. You want to carry someone into the realm. And when you don't see it, you can even just get frustrated. I'm telling you, someone, Rachel knows me. Rachel was with me back those days, though I don't know. Did you used to see the shoes? Rachel, don't tell me. Girls, pay attention. Huh? Anyway, but Rachel was with me. Back those days, I used to minister a lot of revelation. Eh? I would sit down with you for 10 minutes. You would walk away saying, what is this? Until one time, as I was praying, the Lord told me, all this that you're ministering is good, but how does it help the person? And so I started now wandering away from bamboozling you, because I can bamboozle you. You're joking. And because there are people who like deep things, eh? I can take you deep, 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 and in the end it just hits your mind, you're astounded, but you're not carried into something. That's how some people left this ministry. A guy walked up to me and said, I want how you ministered those days. You are deep those days. Now everything is, you're just trying to help everyone. Eh? Go deep. Until you understand that ministry is a journey. You're called like Moses to take someone from this wilderness to a promised land. That's what ministry is. So you get tired of preaching. So, I want to encourage you. Stop the laissez-faire kind of Christianity. Die to the opinions of men, and build a very intimate, personal relationship with God. Some of you don't pray like you used to. Some of you don't pray like you used to. Because somehow in your minds you think prayer is having to say something. Back of it, man, I'm telling you, when you would go to prayer, you hear someone praying in King James. King James. Because somehow he thinks God. Thou, O Lord, come nigh near. And you laugh. Because you see, for me, what that shows me is that he doesn't know God. And it's at that level, it's fine for him. But when you get in, I'm telling you, if one day, just I would encourage you to read a book by a man called, it's on a man of God called George Muller. Actually, the title of the book is The Man of Prayer. Hey, people have a relationship with God. People have a relationship with God. That man, I told a story once. In that book, he went on a boat out at sea with a couple of people. And the wind came and started shaking the boat. And the people on board actually thought they were going to die. And he was downstairs in the cabin, sleeping. Real story. It's like a Jesus thing. Now they went like they did with Jesus. So they went downstairs to wake him up and tell him that, man, there is danger here. He went upstairs on the deck, knelt down while the boat was rocking and guys were busy, knelt down and said, Father, you're the God of the seas. Calm this storm. He got up, sat in a chair as the boat was rocking and began to read a book. I'm telling you, you should read that book. It will encourage you. And the guy who was telling the story said, I was astounded that this guy, in the middle of a storm, is reading a book as the boat is. Then a couple of minutes later, and so he went to him and asked him, how did you know it was going to stop? He said, I know him. Amen. I know him. You guys, oh. You know, my favorite topic is intimacy. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. More than all these other things, dominion, what? For me, it's intimacy. That one, it touches here, because I know where I've come from. I know where I've come from. Prayer doesn't have to be, when it's intimate, you know the words to say. You know that? You know, like a guy who has dated a lady for a long time, and another one is a player, doesn't even know her. And he comes and is using all the lines. And this one just comes and says, I like your shoes. Because you know what to say. And that's how it is with God. You go before him, and as you go, you will know exactly what to say for which situation. For me, in that very same book, George Muller, they tell a story of a young girl who wanted a red ball. So he comes to visit, and just like an uncle can come to visit, and says, what do you want? And like a small girl, 5 years old, says, I want a red ball. And he said he knelt down with a girl, and said, let's pray to the Father to get you that ball. And this is how you need to get your children to grow up. Stop treating God as if he's some far away, distant. And so they knelt down together. He told the girl to pray. And she prayed her baby prayer. Jesus, thank you. May I want a red ball? And after she had finished, maturity added on to the prayer. And Father, I join together with this young girl. We believe you for that she desires, that she might know that you indeed are a living God. He left. 2 weeks later, he sends in a message. And he need you to understand. He sends in a message to the parents of the girl. Has she received her ball? It's not. Actually, no. The message was this. He sent a message. The message was, how is the red ball? Not has she received. It was like, what? It came like a week and a half ago. How did you know? I know him. Yeah, you understand?